Right, welcome everybody back to another episode of Stripped Raw. I'm here with the Glorious Cobes. We've got Fred, who looks mean, and we'll get to that in a second. And then we have Schwa.
Hello.
I think this is Schwa's first. Is this your first webcast that's going to go on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
One with dogs in the back.
With what?
I remember one with dogs in the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is true. That was an awesome episode. But getting into it, this episode today is going to be what we wish we knew 20 years ago. Myself, now I'm 39. Cobra is 38. Mm-hmm. Fred's up there too. Fred's, you're 39 too now.
Yeah.
I know you don't align with ages or numbers or anything like that.
I'm not no spiritual man. Mm-hmm. I'm 39, brother.
Yep. And Schwa, you're coming in. You're 29?
I'm 30. Be 31 in like a month.
All right. I should have known that. We work with each other every day. But all this, it's kind of, I hate the word piggybacking. I hate that term. But we did an episode about a month ago, and it's like, what would we tell the younger generation today, like the 18-year-old? And the crazy thing is, so I went over to the sitter's house. It's the same sitter that's been watching my kid Grayson since he was 6 months old, and now Grayson's 9. So I went over there, and I was talking to her about and I've kept a really strong family foundation with these people. I look at them like they're the grandparents. And I was talking to her because we got twins coming in the house, two boys. And I said, you know, in several months, these kids are going to be coming to your house just like Grayson did. And the same, her nephew lives at the house, and he used to be, man, it's so crazy to think about, but now he's driving a car. He's 18 years old. He's going to graduate from high school. And he said, Mr. David, you know, tell me about, you know, like the military life and whatever. So you could tell he's like gauging, you know, what he could do. And I started talking to him about these things. He's 18 years old. And it's like, this is, and as the conversation went on, I said, man, this is the biggest thing that I wish I would have known is that my ego wasn't so much in the way that I could do everything myself, that I wish I would have listened to the men around me so I didn't have to experience everything myself. And it's something I know Fred and I have talked about pretty in depth is, why does a man today, in today's world, we have to hit bottom before we build back up? That's the number one question I keep coming back to is like, why is a society, why do you have to hit bottom? Why do you have to get ran over by that train, that moving truck, all of these things, you know, the court system. Look at Corey's situation, you know, the court system. And even Fred's, you know, the court system has to completely run you over until you learn. And if you were just to ask some questions to some people around you, these, you know, the men out here, we've all pretty much, to the most extent, experienced the same things, and they would have guided us. But it's why didn't I listen? Why didn't I ask the question, what got in the way? And it's something that I still think about for myself, you know, for Gray, who's 9, and it's the twins that are coming along, you know, this is what dad learned. And I'm going to make that like a kitchen table staple, even if it has to come down to something as simple as taxes. Or having two jobs or one job or doing this and that. This is what I've learned along the way. Like real estate, something as simple as real estate. There's a lot of loopholes in real estate. You know, get into real estate, invest in land, those types of things, right? And that's what I wanted to go around the room. And I know Cobra, Fred, and I, we've been together for 20 years. And we all had to learn the hard way. It's so crazy to me that we had to learn the way that we did. And nowadays, when we're at this age that we're at, 4 decades deep into our time, our existence, our life, that now we're like sharing like, no, man, don't do it that way. Do it this way. And it's like we're more accepting of it, if you will.
Yeah. I would say, looking back at literally 20 years ago, rookies in the military, the number one thing I would have told him was to invest in your thrift savings plan and then forget about it, because that's a hack to be a millionaire. Takes 3 years, and then 20 years later you're at 1.5 million. And nobody ever really explained that to me until I was somebody's supervisor, you know. So invest in something, because time is the one thing that you can't get back.
Yeah, so that's the financial side of it.
Yeah. Man. Financial, man.
Let's talk finances, if there was something financially.
I don't know much about stock markets and things like that, but I do know real estate. I think that's something that I would say. You know, I did buy my house fairly young, so. But I think that, I mean, I spent 6 years in Little Rock, and I was young. I got there when I was 17, and I left, I was 23. But I did have an opportunity to buy a house in Little Rock, and I wish I would have done that. So I think that's probably what I would tell myself as a younger man 20 years ago is to start in real estate sooner, you know, and don't look for the forever house right now, mm-hmm. you know, but start finding homes that, you know, that you can turn into investment properties for later. That's what I would tell myself.
So that's a huge point right there, because I think when people think of a home, like a house is a home. Home is where we grow in, if you will. And it's like, this is going to be my forever home, that first house that I buy. Right. And in reality, it's like, take the emotions like out of it. It's an investment.
So yeah. That's what I would say.
Yep. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Because we're all renting for more than what it costs for mortgage. Remember back then, I think the house note was, it was like
$130,000, $140,000. It was a nice house.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we was like, man, that's like $900 rent, though. Of course, we paying $750 and not keeping a dime of it, you know, at the apartment complex. So, yeah, if somebody would have told me that, that'd be the second thing I would say, too.
Yeah.
You definitely have to just buy something. But just because, especially if it's new built, whatever, you know.
So, for me, sticking to the financial part of it would be, stop trying to impress people that don't matter, you know, like whether it be buying that nice car or, you know, spending that extra couple dollars at the bar, buying people drinks, buying a round of shots or whatever it is. That's not necessary. You don't have to do that.
All right. Schwa's getting straight into the spiritual side of things. It doesn't matter what people think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that I wish that I would have known. Our earlier days, if you will, the guys knew me. And I remember Cobra and I used to share a bathroom. So we were living in the dorms, and it was my John Mayer era early. And I saw John Mayer on a stage, and he had two polos on, and both collars were popped. And I did this, I was doing the same thing, you know, I was wanting to be like JM, right? And I mean, who wears two shirts like that? But I was, because I wanted to be cool, right? And it's, I wanted to impress. I wanted to, I don't know, I really did care what people thought about me. Mind you, I was 23. But that sentiment, I mean, I carried that with me all the way up until I was 35. You know, when the ex-wife first rolled out of the house, the first thing I thought was, what are the neighbors going to think of me? That's the first thing I thought. What are they going to think? Not about my health, my well-being. There was no self-love there. It was, I wasn't thinking about, you know, what is my kid going to eat, or where is he going to eat from? I wasn't thinking about the dining room table being removed. All the thoughts were, what are the neighbors going to think of me? I was so worried about what everybody else thought of me. And I think it's different because you've got, what's that story when Cobra, you and Fred, you guys went shooting in DC and Fred like jumped on the corner in DC and went to go take that and scared that lady, you know? You got to turn your mic on, bro.
You want me to tell you something?
Oh, yeah.
So, go ahead, tell me. The fear on this lady's face. So, I mean, we're down there. We're shooting street photography. I got my camera. He's got his camera. And Fred always used to say, because I would go on the street and I would just talk to people. Hey, you mind if I take a photo of you? And I'll just walk up to people. And Fred would always say, man, I can't do that, man. I'm too big. You know, people were, you know, frightened, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, nah, man, you just got to do it. You know? So here he is stepping out of his comfort zone. And this old lady, she looks kind of cool, you know, walking up, you know, interesting looking. And he tried to, as passively as he could, you know, just kind of step to her, you know, excuse me, and, you know, speak to her. And she clutched her purse the moment she saw us, right? And then here he is, he's stepping towards her. Now her eyes are locked in with us. And the closer we got to her, he went to like speak, and she almost jumped into traffic just to get away from this man. Killed, you know, she almost killed herself out there. But it was very innocent, though. He just wanted to, you know, take a photograph.
I was trying a new method that Cobra said worked.
Almost killed that old lady.
But even when, like, if all of us were to go downtown, and I went down there, like, when I was going through the, and I know what you guys were doing. You're bringing me out of the house. And Fred were like, Dave, man, go over there and ask that girl if you could take a photo. And it was just so Fred can go take the photo. I just had to break the ice, if you will. Like, no, I'm with these guys. They're not delinquents. But it makes me think, you know, based on what Josh was saying, you know, I don't care what people think about me. I was in society. I really did care what people thought about me, because even at the earlier age, I was never brought up on the social issue, if you will, right? Whereas Fred has been dealing with it his whole life, so he's like, I don't care, whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's different, yeah. Different growing up in different demographics, you know, especially in different cities, right? So if we were doing the same thing in downtown Baltimore.
True.
Might be
or a different part of DC.
You know what I
mean? We're about a monument.
Overall, so.
All right, Schwab, what else would you tell yourself 20 years ago?
I'd say don't worry too much about the future, because, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. You know, I mean, looking back now, so all the time spent, like, trying to put your ducks in a row, put my ducks in a row and everything, and nothing, you know, went the way I planned.
I was gonna say
it's not going to.
I'm gonna have to speak on that. That's a young man that was right there, bro. You still young to feel that way.
I said don't think too much about the future. I didn't say don't think
so
about
what,
it.
So what did you do?
Don't worry about
20
it,
years ago.
Don't worry.
That you look back at now, you say, like, oh man, I shouldn't have thought too much about it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, what's causing you to say that? Well, dang, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, 20 years ago, okay, so, I was 10.
Fire.
All right, so let's go back five years, Schwa.
Yeah. Not taking vacations, you know, not living, just trying to save the money up, and you know, just worrying about the future, trying to buy a house that I don't have yet. You know, I could have taken those vacations and still been in the same situation that I am right now. I would have had memories, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting, man.
Yeah. So that's one of the bigger ones.
I would say, man, I think you did it the right way, honestly. It's like we rush to grow up and then realize, man, we should have just stayed young. You know what I mean? Type of thing.
Yeah.
If you value what you have now, but it's got no legs to it, you know, because you didn't spend your forming years. I don't think guys should really date girls until they got a real job, right? Even though everybody say, get out there, date, try things, do this. No, get a job, get sustainable, figure out how to take care of somebody before you get out there and start breaking hearts. At least you get to pay for dinner, something. You know what I mean? Like, what you did, I think you did it right. I know it seems like you're missing out on it, but every penny kind of counts. Mm-hmm. And when you come back around to it in another, you still like, what, 10 years younger than us? Yeah, once you get up into your late 30s, and you realize everything that you kept trying to put in a row starts to pan out, because life isn't going to be easy, and life isn't going to always make sense. Focus on what you want to focus on. Make it your top priority. You want to buy a house for your wife? I guarantee you that can happen in 2 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, but then now the thing is buying a house means you're using money to keep that house and keep it maintained, which also means you may not have as much money to go on vacation. You got a wife. Y'all got things you like to do closer than Hawaii, you know? Figure that out, you know? But don't worry about that. Yeah, because it's like when you get these professional athletes that are 20-some years old and you try to tell them, hey, man, don't buy the Rolex, don't do this, don't do that, or, hey, save your money, whatever, right? You don't know what it means until it's you don't know. You have to live through it, man. It's just, there's no real way to get knowledge and wisdom without the experience, you know. So you're right there, man.
Yeah. Well, that's, to me, that's like the basis of this conversation. It's like you don't know those things. It's like you have to go through it. But what if you just so happen to have a podcast and the subject is, this is what we've learned. We had to learn it the hard way so that or the next guy coming up who's 18, you know, it's like we've been through it. So you don't have to.
Well, yeah, let's talk about hard lessons then.
Okay. What's a hard lesson?
A hard lesson is a hard lesson is thinking you can lean on a woman like you can lean on a man.
Okay, so if you were to go back, if Fred was to go back 20 years ago, what he would tell himself is, I can't lean on a woman like I could lean on a man.
I would say I felt guilty for being so closely knit with y'all when I was first married, you know. Mm-hmm. I always felt like I was doing something wrong, but there was nothing that she could carry the weight of anyway, us figuring it out, going through getting the hard knocks and everything, you know. Forgetting about the idea that she's bringing the same thing to this relationship as I am, right? So we process things different. What I need to do is both not lean on her like a man and not expect her to come to me like a man either. So when she says left, she might be meaning right. But emotionally, what comes out sounds like a left. You have to actually learn what she's trying to say. You know, I have a lot of conversations where you realize when a girl's emotional enough, she'll say the exact opposite of what she wants. You can't hold her to that. Now, if you say it, I can hold you to it for sure. And I'm a taxer too. So, but
well, we speak the same language.
You
so
know
yeah.
what I mean? Right. Yeah. But yeah. It's just not the same. It doesn't cross over the same. So, mm-hmm. Huge lack of communication comes from the idea that we speak in the same language, but we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about this? This is one of the things I'm taking away from that is, and I know kind of the way that you're built. Dumb, wide-shouldered, ugly. But also, your brain, your wife, your woman, she would be your best friend. How about that? Let's put it in that. I don't like labeling things, but let's label it.
No, she wouldn't.
Okay.
Women can't fill the void of a best friend for a man because it requires something more. Like, simple things. As much as I love a woman, love my girl, if I'm moving the couch, I'm calling my homie. You know, if I need to squabble with somebody, I'm calling the homie. I'm here to, like, there's a big statement that goes out right now saying, a man saying, if you love me, be my peace, right? To a woman, mm-hmm. right? And I realized after listening to a few podcasts about it that women don't bring the peace. We bring the peace to them. As you figure out your life as a young man, you figure out how to maintain peace in all storms. And then you incorporate a woman into that and you take on her waves and you show her how to settle it in. I'm always guiding her in the peace so that I know that sucked. I know that was terrible. We're still here, still locked in. Because there's nothing I can do about her problems anyway. You know, she probably doesn't even want me to fix them. But I'm bringing the peace to every situation. I would fail in a situation if she came in on a level 3 and I took it to a 4. Because then what's she going to do? She's going to go to a 5, right?
Yeah.
Right, you got to come in lower. Every time you got to keep lowering it down, right? We bring the peace, you know. And they could try to disturb their peace. And yes, people, I've been with women who want to disturb peace. They still can't take my peace. They just won't be a part of my tomorrow. You know what I mean? If you don't like me having peace, that's not something that I'm willing to.
I think that part right there.
You can't.
That
part is what this. I've been through hell.
What needs to be taught more, I think, the part of discernment, to be able to look at a person or a situation and realize that I'm not going to change them, you know. And it is they are disrupting, you know, my peace, and that person is not worth that to me to continue on. So then you get up out of there, right? But I think a lot of times people stay because maybe they feel obligated to, they feel bad, or they feel like they're supposed to, or like what Josh said earlier, is they worry about what other people think, you know? So you got this girl and she's super bad, you know? And if I leave her, it's like, why'd you leave her? Like, she, you know, crazy, but it's...
Glad to get him peace a new nickname. Taker. Peace taker.
You got to be okay with, like, you know,
like a peace
hey, this
girl.
This is the standard I set for myself. This is my level, you know? And if there's, I mean, it, you don't have to be a woman. It could be a friend. It could be a job. You know? It could be anything that's like, it's causing me to, you know, to want to go here, and that's unacceptable for me. So therefore, I can't be a part of this anymore. And being okay with doing that, you know?
Got a question. Got a question from the audience. See, this 20 years ago, would you listen to people? Would you say to listen to people with experience?
So, I'll say something about that. My answer would be yes or no. It depends on how they were to approach me, because I had people trying to help me out, and you know, I mean, I could say they were doing it the wrong way. Maybe they're doing the right way, but I just you know, didn't listen to them. Maybe if they approached me in a different way, or if I, well, I couldn't really say if I received it a different way, but if they approached me a different way, maybe I would have listened to them. But yeah,
I think experience,
yes or no, I guess.
I don't know. I go back to the word discernment, you know? So like I can see a person with experience and he's talking to me. It's like, oh man, watch out for this, watch out for that. But I think it's important to look at where that person is in life, you know? And so if they're giving you advice because they have experience and been through it, but if you're looking at their life and it's like, I don't want to emulate anything about their life, then why would I listen to it? You know? So I'm glad you made me aware of it, but
yeah,
it don't seem like you figured it out. So therefore I'm not going to take that advice that you had, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say if I'm speaking to a younger man, I know the importance of sending a message in a way they can receive it. You know, I talk to a lot of younger people and I say, look, this is just my advice. You don't got to take it. I won't be mad if you don't. Yeah. I'm just going to give you a forewarning of some things I learned in life. You know, and leave it at that. Somebody got a hot mic?
That's my boy.
So I don't know. So I'm gonna look at I want to go back to like Fred's point, and I'm gonna bring in the question and what Josh said. I think as human beings, we get comfortable, and we don't want to be disturbed. For me, going through that uncomfortable time, I found comfort in a whiskey bottle. That's what I did. And I felt really comfortable with it. And I didn't want anybody to mess with my peace because I found peace in it. And it was the wrong peace, but to me it was peaceful at the time. It put me to sleep, I guess. I think that when we have people who challenge us, like what you were just talking about, Fred, with a woman, like peace takers, you could either see the big picture with them or you can't. Even with Jay now, there are times that she's going to mess with my peace, but I know that she sees a bigger picture. To me, women are, they're the greatest inspiration in the world. Besides my son, she is the biggest, she inspires me for something way, way bigger. Fred and I talked about it. It was a while back, but I said for myself, I can drink water out of the ditch in the backyard, but it is the woman that inspires me to climb that mountain and get a bucket of like just really good tasting water for her. She inspires me to do that. And I'm going to climb that mountain, and climbing that mountain is going to disturb my peace, obviously, but I'm doing it because I'm inspired. So in a way it stretches me beyond the limits that I'm in right now.
Could you say you have levels of peace like women have levels of emotion?
Yeah, well, I think that our levels of peace, if you think about it, honestly, we haven't even tasted the greatest parts of our peace, right? And it could be the same for them. As a woman, like we all grow, but I do think that women outgrow, I'm not going to say outgrow guys, but I do think that they change as time, as their life evolves, right? Yeah. Like right now, before Jay was pregnant, she was this version. And now she's pregnant, she's this version. And now we're 6 months pregnant and she's this version. When she has kids, she's going to be this version. So she's going to change a lot more than I will. So her emotions are going to change as well. Right. But the more she feels comfortable in this environment, this place that we're in, she's going to trust me more with those emotions. She's going to dive deeper into those emotions. In a sense, it's like tit for tat, not like a scoreboard, but her emotions, she's going to feel more comfortable in her emotions to like, I'm going to put this on you and see if you can handle this. Yeah. And it's like that level of inspiration in me is going to be met for me to do something greater and bigger. So it's like my peace will always be, I'm not going to say question. It's going to be challenged. My peace is going to be challenged, but it's for the betterment of my overall life, my overall growth, my overall future, the rest of the time that I have here. And that's something that I'm willing to accept.
Yeah. One of my biggest talking points or that I keep circling back to with my girl is about how her days are, you know, just message. You know what I mean? Like they just,
yeah.
And my days are pretty much like, you know,
no, for sure.
Might be that, right? But I've been there. I've been in that place, you know? And so some of the lessons she's learning now, I would say, you know, I mean, I had to learn that when I was 19 because the world wasn't going to protect me from it. You know what I mean? But here you are learning now. And whether you're learning it now or you learn it in a year or you don't learn it and you got to do the lessons over again, no matter what you bring to me, I'm going to take it. I'm going to encompass it. I'm going to help you process through it. And I'll accept you on the other end of it, whatever comes up. And so that's one of her biggest compliments about the conversations we have is no matter, even if she's just up a wall and just trying to, you know, be nasty, you know, I'm just sitting there. Okay, cool. So you want to say what you want to say, but as long as it doesn't cross too far that I have to shut it down, like you got to say what you got to say. You got to express yourself, you know?
True.
And at that point, when I say, look, that's going to get disrespectful if you keep going like that. She understands what I'm saying. Like, I know you're feeling this. I know you're feeling that. I can't comprehend how much that makes you react. But you still have to remember, like I told her, you could fail at one of your goals as long as it doesn't send you down a spiral. Mm-hmm. You know, the levels of failure, like a surface level. She wants to quit smoking, has a cigarette on accident. That's one thing, you know. But if something spirals her so far down that she ends up in a bar somewhere, talking to one of her old homies, like, now you've gone just a bit too far. You know, so.
Well, that's the evolution of you that I've never seen before. 3 years ago, Fred would have been, and this is no disrespect, and I love you to death, but for your female at the time, and I'm not going to call her a woman, but your female at the time, you would have been a doormat for her.
Absolutely. But that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And that was like... That was like 6 years ago now, but
But you didn't have any like there were no boundaries. And once for you, and I know it for me, and that's one of the things that I would have told myself 20 years ago. It's like self-love, and self-love comes with like the boundaries. You have to have boundaries to protect your own. Like, no, there's a level of me that I know what I'm capable of and what I'm willing to go through. And you can't wipe your feet off on me like that.
But think about this. Those boundaries only work positively in one way or the other, right? So me not having boundaries as a man means I don't build respect in my household. Mm-hmm. But if I want to take my girl and walk her past her boundaries, her trust in me, she'll let me do that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's completely different, right? But yeah, absolutely. So I was told love was something that was reckless. It was unhinged. It was, you know... Throw it all at them, you know. Never take an inch and give everything, you know. And
give everything. You're a generator.
I tried it. It just doesn't. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because you feel deflated at the end. And, but like, it's like now you have, like, it's crazy to say this to you, brother, but it's like Fred has boundaries. It's so crazy to think about. But Fred has boundaries. Because there's a level of self-love inside of you. There are things that I have to take care of. There are kids. There's a mom that I have to take care of. I have to be able to provide for these other things. You know, it's not all about you.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And what I do believe is as time goes on, we start to see like a bigger picture. It's not about that one person. It's about, it's the whole world. And I think eventually we evolve into that. It's the whole world. It's not necessarily me allowing the whole world to plug into me, but it's like having these boundaries will make a healthier world all around, all around us. And there's a way to do that without the world plugging into you. You could say like, no, I'm turning off the switch. It's the same thing as a child. And the more that like I go,
disrespect, but yeah,
it's the whole world. There's a bunch of kids out there and they're just like, I want pizza every night. I want cake every night. And you can either like, you can give into that or no, there's a switch and it's like, no. But that involves having the energy to like have the conversation with the kid on why you can't have pizza and chocolate cake every night. It's just, it's time and it's harder to have those conversations than it is. And it's so acceptable in today's society to just give them pizza and give them the cake and give them that easy stuff, the instant gratification. Like, no, you can have this because that's what all the friends are doing. And I think of it like all in a kid's sense, but that's what a lot of this is based on. And that's the other thing, like the boundary for myself, when people come to me with conversation, I'm not talking to a child anymore. It's like, are you willing to talk man and woman, king and queen ruling your life? Or because I'm not doing kid conversations anymore.
That's a great point also. I think, again, something you could tell a younger man, do not meet a woman at her level. Don't do that. Always elevate her, always nourish her, always, but don't come fight fire with women. They're made of fire, we're not anyway, so.
Yeah, but let's just say it's not a woman. Let's say there's a 22-year-old guy. Let's say it's Josh, and Josh has been around us a lot for the last.
Which Josh?
Schwab, right there.
This one.
But if Josh was to come out, like Josh was to come to you, and he's looking for, you know, my girl did this or that, or and you're trying to guide him. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, again, no. You be inflamed, right? You be up in a roar, and I gotta let you do some damage. You can't keep it all in, brother. You know what I mean? But then at the same time, I'd let you take a day. But then tomorrow, let's try to get back to level. And if you fail, then we'll try again the next day. You know what I mean? It's not about being perfect, but you're wasting time.
Yes. So right there, you're talking about his emotions, giving his emotions time. He's got to breathe. He's got to like, you got to let it all out. You got to sleep and let's talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there's a level there that you've hit and I've seen it and I've seen it with Cobra and I have seen it with Josh, but, understanding your emotional maturity with things. And that's another key term that I would have told myself 20 years ago. Do you understand how emotionally, it's like, Dave, do you know how emotionally incompetent you are? That's what I would have said to 18-year-old Dave. Do you know how emotionally incompetent you are?
Yeah. And you probably would have turned off anything that person.
Oh, yeah, said. Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah.
So the question in the chat says, when did you start to, at what age did you start to lean on other people's, other people's advice or for each other, like in this crew? What age did you realize? I feel like we were pretty young, talking about the Bible on top of wingtips and stuff, you know. And we didn't realize it because when you're young, you don't see everything that's coming, everything that you're missing. Could you imagine if we knew what we knew now and we walked into Little Rock?
I mean, juggernauts.
Four houses would have, you yeah. know, there was so much that, but for what we knew, our bandwidth, I felt like we were always forced to lean on each other.
I think that we leaned on each other, but as far as leaning on each other for advice, I don't know. I think during that stage, we were more so just building trust, not necessarily knowing that we were doing that, but we were building a very trustful foundation between, you know, all of us. But me personally, I don't think that I truly started leaning on my brothers here for advice until I started to spiral, you know, to where I realized like I can't do it myself, you know, like I don't know what to do right here, you know, and then boom, hit rock bottom. And now I'm leaning on the people that I built this trust with. Now I'm leaning on, you know, their advice. And that's the part that sucks. It seems like we have to, like what you said in the beginning of this, we have to get down to rock bottom before we start to say, man, let me go get some advice somewhere, you know? And that's what sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's the rite of passage, though. You can't talk about nothing you don't know about. You don't really know how to ask for help if you don't really need help. You know, so for the time being, the first 6 years, what, we just fixing motorcycles and cars and trying to figure out where we're going to be on the weekend?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you the best advice I can give you, brother, you know? But until you go and, right. and give your heart away and then it gets stepped on and put back at you and you deal with job security and court systems, and now a boy becomes a man when the way the world is placed on you. It's a very ceremonious ritual that we do, you know, as men. And once you've held that weight and you've and it's crushed you and you reach out to another dude then, because I wouldn't ask a 20-year-old, what am I going to do, man? I'm going through a divorce. And he's never been married.
Yeah.
You know, or, hey, man, how do I advance my career in this way or that way, you know?
Well, that's a good – I never even thought about that. All right, so I'm having like a little epiphany right now, because even to this day, let's say all the stuff that I've been through, and I know that I can reach out to all you guys for like any one of these things, any social problem that happens, and that's the power of YouTube, is like I went to go start a fire in the fireplace and the flue wasn't working. I lit the fire. I thought the flue was open and smoke started coming into the house. And it's like, what the hell is going on? So I had to put the fire out. I threw a wet blanket over it, took the logs, threw them outside. And it's like, how did this happen? Like, who has a fireplace? Dad has a fireplace. So I called Dad and like, hey man, have you ever had like your flu? Like, I don't know, it's being weird. And he's like, oh yeah. And it's like, it's these situations. And it, thinking about it now, it's like, I'm so reactionary. Inside of this house, there's probably 100 light sockets. There's wires. There's drywall. There's a flue. And it's like, I'm not going to ask for help until a problem happens, because it's never happened before. Right?
Exactly. You can't ask the question, what do I do with $2 million?
If you've never...
You're losing $2 million. And it's like,
I don't know what to do.
So as much as I think I can give advice to a pro athlete, what can I tell them?
Yeah.
Find some good advice. That's my advice. Find somebody that's done it before, you know, and is out of the league and do exactly what they do. Because I can't tell you that I... Like, if I had that money... I know my mom's going to be on a different level. You know, I know I'm going to take care of some of my friends and my people. Like, but is that the smartest thing to do with it? Or is that just, you know, my morals, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So until you have the problem, until you've lived through life enough to where a mortgage is due and you don't have enough to eat.
Yeah. Like, what do I do?
Right.
That's the thing. We can't, or can we? And I mean, let me ask you that then. And the conversation is starting to go off the rails, but this is what we do, right? If there's a situation, we can, or can we? Is that what we're supposed to do as man, as dad, as husband, partner, whatever it is? Are we supposed to sit here and think about, like, what if?
Why do
you I don't know if they did it 500 years ago, they might have done that. Like,
exactly. I was just about to say the exact thing. Why do you think cigars were invented?
Yeah.
Back then, it was a pipe or this or that. But, like, they sit around, they smoke, and they think. And they think as a collective. And they build a society. And they figure out, they built the tax code like that. They beat nations' treaties like that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just getting outside of your brain. You only know what you know. I was having this conversation. And one of the key principles to being a successful person or having a successful business is not being the smartest person in the room. If it's your business, right? You read that over and over again. But what's the first thing people want to do when they start a business?
Boss. Yeah.
They want to be the smartest dude in the room. Yeah,
be the
right?
boss.
And it's like, as the boss, I don't know anything about this. That's why I have you standing here.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like, you know?
Well, that was one of the first things when we came up with the You Matter box for Stripped Raw. And Cobra and I, we brought it to McFarland, the squadron commander at the time. And he's a pretty smart dude. He's a good dude. Good heart, good family. He's whole all the way through, I would assume. But he said, I said, man, we need to, do you want to be our CEO or whatever it is? And he said, outsource it. Outsource all of that crap, because you guys are the talent. You have the ideas. You know where this needs to go. Outsource everything else. The marketing team, the sales team, operating team, all of it. Outsource all of it. And I had to like, I had to let go of control, right? But I mean, essentially, well, we try to do that. That stuff takes a lot of money, which we don't have. But it's like, I understand that concept now. Like, take that weight off of yourself. But going back to what you're saying about cigars, you know, in those times, men would sit around and they would, let's just say, smoke or have a conversation, and they would critically think. Like, they would critically think with each other. And that's something that I think is lost in today, is we can't sit around in a group and we can't have that conversation because somebody's emotions will get disturbed. You can't talk about politics or what are these, like, taboo subjects they talk about. You can't talk about church. You can't talk about finances. You can't talk about religion.
But guess what, you can, right? That's what the barbershop is for, right? Talk about all that in the barbershop. That's what a cigar lounge is for, to some extent. I know they don't like the political talk so much, but yeah, like, those are places where men get recharged. They don't have to agree on everything, like the table at work.
Yeah.
When you sit down at the table, like we say, you better know what you're talking about. You better stand on it, because somebody's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
And if you don't got nothing to say, you probably shouldn't have spoken in the first place, right? Like, mm-hmm. Part of being a man is standing on what you said, meaning business with it. You know what I mean? And don't let nobody shake you.
That's a thing. The emotional capacity to it is, if I was to say that raspberry jam is better than strawberry jam, but Fred comes it with a different angle, and it's like, I see Fred's point. And actually, it's like, you can change my mind, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And that happens from time to time. When you can actually get an objective argument, you can do that. But most things that we talk about are subjective. Yeah. And it's just, no matter what you say, we're going to stand different, but we're together in that.
Yeah.
At least you don't like blackberry jam. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that brotherhood of, like, different but unified.
Black.
You better watch yourself.
Jam is horrible.
You better watch yourself.
Yeah, brother.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Like, he kind of likes.
I'm divided here.
But yeah, so if you think about that, though, that's the beauty of any good community, is the diversity
mm-hmm.
and the unity at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. We couldn't do this if we were all just a bunch of dudes from backwoods Tennessee. Matter of fact, how many people do you hang out with in Tennessee right now, Dave? Not you from the backwoods.
Do I hang out with?
Yeah.
Nobody?
Who in your group is from the same place?
Yeah.
Because we know Cobra's Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I hang out with a backwoods.
You know, when I had that gym, Jigaboo. When I had that gym group that I was with, there was never two people. There was never more than two people from the same continent or country. I mean, there was Peruvians. There was a guy from Somalia. There was a dude from Germany. There was a couple of us who were American. There was Filipino people. Everybody from every different, and we get together. We had one common thing. We wanted to better ourselves and help each other doing it. And mm-hmm. It was one of the strongest teams I've ever been a part of.
So. And it's not about who was right, right? I sat at a dinner table about this was a year ago, so I'm going back. But the guys serving the food, they were vegans. And the guys, everybody else consuming the food, they weren't vegans. And then by the end of the dinner conversation, and this is in their house, they're arguing back and forth about science and is veganism better than meatitarian, and the thing is like nobody was open to any discussion whatsoever. It was just they're just bashing, right? And it's like these dudes, they cooked this food, they hosted you in this house, and you're walking away like, I can't believe it's like, what about the flavor of the food? Like, it does it really matter? You know, these guys have this belief, you have this belief, and it's like, can we, it's, you don't have to agree on it. It's just, can you have a conversation, an emotionless conversation about it? And I think going back to it, 18-year-old Dave is like, you need to get a hold of your emotions. How long has it taken for us to come to the table and like just talk about things?
Well, it took so we had to be in the wave of life and we had to surface back on the beach. That's why eighth graders talk about Power Rangers and gummy bears. You know what I mean? That's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I won't go to them for advice about what to do with my next investment or even making a good friend. But think about how you sit at the table with us, and then you got older folks at the table who have a completely different viewpoint. Like, you go down to Goody and them's house and Jimmy, right? And when Jimmy sit down and talk, your ears are wide open. You already know, like, these old men spit knowledge. You know what I mean?
That's it.
And I know the same, right? So I go to cigar lounges. All the guys I hang out with are 20 years my senior.
Yeah.
And I spend time in and out of the lounges with them.
Just soaking it up.
Just taking it in, you know? Yeah. I might not be able to use it all yet, but somehow, you know? And so as a young man, that might have bored me, you know, at the age of 19.
Yeah, because they're not talking about how to chase that or get up in that skirt. Or
well, but the thing was I was obsessed with motorcycles at that and guns as well, I guess. But you know what I mean? Like, if we're not talking about the vroom vroom, you know, what's life, you know?
Yeah.
And we were just pushing it. And it's just, I don't have the depth. I was just married. I got married when I was 19, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't felt anything yet, you know? And so I didn't have any depth to sit in those conversations. I'm like the shallow end of the pool, you know?
Yeah.
But now I can sit and talk with Centurion, you know, for sure. Because I'm going to be listening the whole time, you know what I mean? I know not to open my mouth, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that may be like a mission statement on what we're doing with Stripped Raw is, because if we were to rewind back to the Greek times or whatever, it's like these boys would sit around, they would listen to the wisdom of what these old guys have gone through. But of course, if the boys know everything, what's that saying? I think we round robin to it every time. It's like, Schwa, you know it. You had it verbatim one time, like, hard times make hard men make...
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think everyone knows it at this point. You want me to say it?
Go ahead, Wazy, because you ain't saying much.
Now I'm going to get it jumbled up.
Don't mess up.
You will, because you're on camera.
Yeah, hard times...
No, you don't start with hard times, you start with good times.
Well, it is start anywhere, it's a big circle, right?
It is, good that's times. The thing.
Good times. Up, look.
I don't know. Go ahead, Fred. Yeah, go ahead, Fred. Mess it up.
So the good times make soft men. Soft men make hard times. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times.
Yeah. And I think like that's it's a circle. It's a vicious circle. But I mean, let's just say that that's the way humanity is right now. And it's right now we're in this phase of the world, or at least what we believe in, and I mean, the stats are staggeringly in our favor to say this, but I mean, it's hard times. So we need to make strong men.
Well, yeah. So these hard times are on the back of the good times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when things are too good and we're just fat and happy, we aren't really crossing our T's and dotting our I's as a society, you know? And being in the hard times is good because it builds you into something. We again, in our life cycle, we started out with good times, and they made us weak and dumb. And those dumb things made us fall on hard times.
Yeah,
right. Well, and through those hard times, we were able to get strong and become. Now, the only mistake would be, again, and I think it's a generational thing, is as I'm now a hard man, you know what I mean? A good, strong man. Do I make it too easy for my next generation that they just automatically, you know?
Well, what I do think is, if we were to rewind over like social topics, social issues that have been plaguing, we're still talking about racism right now, right? Racism is still here. It's still prominent. 100 years ago, an African American couldn't vote in the United States. 200 years ago, a woman couldn't vote. I think it was 1860. Either way. When we go through these hard times, I think we do overcome a social vendetta, a social something in our culture, and we get over it. And eventually, we want to just celebrate for a while, not knowing that there's other social things that we have to overcome. And during those times of celebration, we get soft. And then it's like we have to get hard again in order to overcome something else, some stupid social thing in our world, if that makes sense. But what happens when, like, we overcome all of these obstacles and then we're able to just be, like you said, Fred, you just be a hard man, like a hardworking man, and there's no more thing socially to overcome, and we can just stay hard and learn and grow. And I think that's the big thing.
Yeah. So the thing is, only way to do that would be to perfectly balance your life and to be superhuman, right? So the best thing we can do is to recognize when we are slipping up, because there's no way to have all your guards watching at all times, right? We can probably focus on three things, and something's going to slip, something's going to fall. If you're giving all the love to your wife, then you're not giving enough to your kid. If you're giving it all to your kid, you're not giving it to the wife. If you get about the dog, don't worry about it, you got to go to work. Something's got to give. We only have 24 hours minus 8, right? And so that's the nature of being a human. That's the nature of, again, relationship, right? And so when you are down or when you are folding or this or that, hopefully you're not doing it alone. That's the whole point of this, right? When I see that you are in the best, like, in the best of your ability, trying and trying and trying, and I'm seeing that you're about to hit this cliff because I've been to this cliff. We going over it or we going to hold back? Because you're going to survive it, but
yeah.
Do you want to go through the wreckage as well? Because I'm there with you too, but, you know.
Well, I think that's the thing that's lost, but keep going.
Yeah, and I think that's what we really should hone in on. I'm not here to keep you perfect. I'm here to keep you in community.
Yeah, okay. You know? I like
so,
that.
Right, you know, so because you're going to fail me. You're going to fail yourself. You're going to fail everybody. We've discussed this over and over again. We're not aiming for perfection. I think that's where people can get stressed out and down on themselves, as if they think that they can actually achieve that. And they put so much pressure on themselves to be perfect for other people, for themselves, for whatever. And then when it fails and you break and there's nobody there, what do you turn to? I know this is inverted, flipped out, far away from where we started the message, but if you think about it, that aim for perfection is dangerous, you know?
It is, but if you're not doing it just for your, like Dave is doing it by himself, if you're doing it with a like-minded group, like we can all fail. And that's something I'd go back to, like 18-year-old Dave, you know, it's allowing a group mentality, not my ego saying I could do it myself, but it's like you could do it with a community. So when you do fail, and you will, like we're all going to fail, but if you have that like-mindedness, the shared goals, then you could succeed.
Yeah, I think that community that we have, that's the unique thing, is that we've done the full cycle, at least the, what do you call it? We've done the midlife cycle.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've done it all. Bought our first cars, bought our first houses, got married, got divorced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not you, Josh. Don't even get divorced. But, We see to it that you don't. And when you are going through divorce, I'm the type of brother that's going to step in and say, what's the real weight of that, brother? You know, what's the real weight of that? What are you winning? You know what I mean? I've had that conversation with both of y'all. Had that conversation with Jimmy, you know, and it's like, what's the weight of this, man? Is that really the win that you want? Do you not have any more grace? You have nothing left in the tank? You can't bleed one more time? Like, because that's what you called to do.
Yeah, feel that.
You know?
So I would say, honestly, though, I mean, I don't think we're far off from the
original community,
to be honest. And listening to all of this, it just, I almost want to, you know, change my answer a little bit, or maybe just add to it. And I would say that, you know, 20 years ago, what I would tell myself is to focus a lot on building the community, focus a lot on your circle, because I think trying to dodge and, you know, skip over, you know, hardship or downfalls, and that's futile. That's wasted energy, in my opinion. But if you're building a solid team, the things that are going to inevitably come, the downfalls, the pitfalls, the obstacles, all that stuff, you will have a solid team, and the weight of it won't be so heavy. The climb out of the ditch won't be so far because you have a solid team. Mm-hmm. But also knowing how to build a solid team is important as well. Who's going to be on that team? You know,
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so for this community, for this team we're talking about, is there a hierarchy? Is there a draft pick? Like, who's your first pick? Is it your
I think it starts with you have friends, but they're not necessarily in the circle. You have coworkers, they're not necessarily in the circle. But I think it starts with you, you know, understanding who you want to be, you know, like understanding who you are right now, which is okay, but you should be wanting to evolve. But what do you want to evolve into, right? And then picking your, you know, your team or, you know, around that. Like, what, who else around you emulates the path that you're trying to, you know, to walk, you know?
And Josh, this is different than your partner, as in your wife, because this is not the weight that you want to put on her. You need these people to keep you standing upright in the game. These people that you can recharge with, because when you go into your relationship, you should be pouring out more than you're taking in. It shouldn't be a fair thing.
Agreed.
So, and so that way it's sweeter for her because she's got a man that's pouring into her, not one that's looking for her to bring back a shovel and help dig. You know what I mean? Like, that's my job, babe. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. We found our crew through music, through mechanics, through, you know, like, it's just what it was. We kind of just, you have to kind of take that risk. You got to go down to Texas on a weekend off. You got to, you know, go over there and just see people and hang out with people and invest in them. And that's harder to do the older you get, you know, but.
No, it is.
Now that we've been, what are we, 20 years at it.
Yeah.
Have no problem flying over here. Hey, he's getting married. Or, hey, I need these photos. Or, hey, can you help me with this? We've invested that time. And it's not like I can't start that again. But I'll never have friends from my 20s again because I'll never be in my 20s again. You know what I mean? I met these guys when I was 19. So every day, you know, keep pushing for it. Keep learning who's around you, you know?
Yeah. The thing, I put in this metaphor, and I've said it before on here, I had 100 friends in my phone, and when I needed help, I started reaching out, and some guys were like, "Hey, man, that's a little bit too heavy for me." And I held that against myself, like, "Man, maybe this is too heavy for everybody because this dude said this is too heavy." And then these other guys, they started picking up on it. I was like, "Maybe it isn't the same. Like, maybe all guys aren't built the same, or we're just not aligning, or." There's no judgment here, but maybe it isn't aligning with what they have, you know, their space in their world. The guys who told me, like, "Dave, this is too much." Then I asked myself, and this all happened in one day. I said, if my future wife was to fall out of a tub, hit her head, go unconscious, what guys would I actually trust to wrap in a towel and bring her to the emergency room? And my list whittled down from 100 to 7 dudes. I literally counted them out of my hands. What guy would I trust to... not like, what does her boobs look like? Does she shave down there? Does she have a Brazilian landing strip? You know what I mean? It's like all of these little things. What guys would I actually trust her with? What guys would look at her as a sister and not just a female? And as soon as I like, okay, the list narrowed down to these 7 dudes, and it's like, that's the ride and die. That's it. Those are the only guys I'm going to bring anything I need to. And I wore them the hell out. I called Cobra until he was tired. I wore his ass out.
Yeah.
And then,
there you go. Yeah. What was that last question?
But that's it.
And there was another
that question. One that situation.
That chat.
What was your best piece of advice you give to your younger self? Which I felt like you answered right there. Yeah. So financially, that's all great. But yeah, I think we would all agree. The number one thing you can learn is who your people are.
That's it. That's it. And those are the only type of people I'm taking advice from too. Whether it's monetarily, physically, mentally, spiritually, all of it, across the board. Every pillar that makes a human being. It's like my crew, these 7 dudes, that's it.
Don't be too soft to disagree with your crew.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose a good friend over macaroni and cheese. You know what I mean? Like, we've been through the tops and the bottoms together. We disagree a lot. We agree a lot. But one thing we know is, pick up the phone if you need me, bro.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And you got to be that before you can get that, honestly. You can't just go out there laying out, trying to get everybody to support you, and you're not going to do something back. You know what I mean? So we see value in each other. We bring value to the table. And we do more than we take. We give more than we take, you know?
That's a crazy thing. I think about, like, the takeaway of this entire conversation, and it always evolved back to listening to what these other guys are saying. And it's like the people you actually trust, not these guys that can influence you on what they need. Because there's a lot of guys, but I think a lot of us think that most dudes out there are built the same way we are. Like all four of us, and I know you guys very well, we're all generators. We generate energy to the world. We're here to make the world a better place. We're good dads, good husbands. We're good dudes. We think all these other guys out there, it's like we must all be built the same way. And we're not. Not all people are built the same. And there's no judgment there. It's just you're not built the same way as me.
The cool thing about that is that makes us the cream, right? But it's not that far off from... It's just a lack of other dudes speaking into these young dudes' lives, really. To change them from, like, video games and nothingness to getting a job and being supportive of something. Take care of your mother if you don't got a woman. Do something. You know what I mean? Like, but... It's not that far off. It's something that can be learned.
Yeah, it is. It's something that can be learned, but they may not be built with it because these other guys, it's like they can't give to the world like we can. So what they do is they plug into other people. They plug in other guys if they have to. But they're not a generator in this world.
Yeah,
they can't. That's true. They can't generate.
That's true. But even if not, there's still a way to be a decent
person. There is.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean? It's not hard to be a decent man.
No, it's not.
It's weird. It's not.
You know what I've mean? Wrestled like, with this as well. Yep. I've wrestled with it. It's hard as hell to be a man.
It ain't easy being cheesy, baby. Look, you have to put in the work, but the payoff is worth it.
It is. But the in today's world, I mean, you don't have to put in the work. It's so easy not to put in the work. There's a bunch of wolves out there. That's my thing. Like jungle talk, if you will. I like metaphors. But it's so easy to be a hyena in this world now. It's too easy. And that's where we're talking about like hard times. It's just too easy to be hyena. You can go out there. You can get on an app right now and you can have fast sex right now. You can go down to the bar and you can have this. You can have anything you want. You can hook up with a lady, you can get your sensations filled and then have your belly filled with a number 6 through a drive-through by 11 o'clock and you could be sleeping. You know, it's too easy.
Speaking of, I'm about to go get some fries, dog. But no, I think guys have to go through that phase too. I strongly think you can't not do it until you've done it.
Yeah.
You know.
I went through it.
Yeah.
I did it, you know.
And once you've gone through it, You felt the weight of the things you've done wrong to people or by people or the shortcomings of how you played the game, that turns you into a man that appreciates people's daughters a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you can't read it in a book. You can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
But there's also some guys out there where it's like they don't learn from the emotions or that they hurt from other people. And it's like, I'm just not going to hurt their feelings. What I'm going to do is I'll just sit in here and play my video games and order that number 6 and then come back to the video games.
Yeah. It's a tough thing, you know, tough thing to process. And I don't know the inside on it, but I would bet that if that's that guy, he's not fulfilled by his life. But he doesn't know how
like expansive life can be. So for any guy out there, and I think we've come to realize this because all of us, majority of us, I'm not going to put schwa in this situation, but I could have easily, and this is round robining back to one of the points we were talking about getting the water out of the side of the mountain. I could very easily live in a tent on a mattress and all I need is a water bottle and a Glock in this world. That's all I need to live my life, to keep existing. But in order to live, to truly live the way that I think that I was destined, the way I feel I was destined to live, was to be inspired by this woman to not live in the tent, to have walls, to build a throne for her, to have guards on the tower to protect the children. It's like this inspiration.
But the key to that is sacrifice.
Yeah. But what are you willing to say?
As a man, you're not really doing it if you ain't sacrificing. If you're not putting yourself back and putting somebody else in front of you, you're really not doing it. You don't know the joy of it until you see somebody else smile because of your hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah.
No.
This was awesome.
It's
like
again.
Part one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What happened to all the old dudes?
I know.
Cover?
I know.
Cover's the oldest one in the room.
I do.
No, Cover's got a baby on the way. Got two more babies on the way.
I just bought a baby cash.
$23. That's crazy. No, I'm excited about that, though, honestly. Yeah. Having a baby girl. Yeah. I know it's going to change me a lot.
The things we learned.
It's different having a son. And I know I'm going to be a different man having a daughter. Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You better be. You better treat
for
her
sure.
Completely
for sure.
Like straight up. You ain't no girl, so get out there more that long. Baby girl, you want straight up. Let them know men and women are equal.
Sure.
We down here. This is a woman, you know what I mean? Let them know we're not equal. So
I was always afraid, though. I think of like her finding the wrong guy, you know, like being taken advantage of and things like that. Like that was always in my head of how I thought I would be once I found out I was having a girl or had a girl or something like that. But like, I don't think I have those fears now. I don't know why, but I don't have that, those thoughts in my head at all. You know.
We'll give you a nice little birthday pistol. Yeah, brother.
But I just think that the way that I am,
nice, real nice,
and the love that's in this house and who our mom is, I just have this confidence that she's gonna be straight. You know? So yeah, I'm excited about it. Truly. We'll see. About 4 months.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
I got two twin boys coming over for a play date.
Mm-hmm. See the other dad come out. See Bad Boys too? That's me and Fred right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait.
That'll be awesome.
Who at the door? It's Reggie.
Reggie.
I do.
That's right.
Long, ludicrous looking look.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be beautiful. All right. Appreciate you guys being on here. Yeah, this was awesome. We could do a part two, part three, part four. Keep it going.
For sure.
And for everybody out there listening, just know that what it boils down to, what we tore down here, is community. Find your community. And if you can't find your community, we just so happen to build one for you. And it's right here. And I'll put out Fred's cell phone number so all you guys can keep on talking.
Yeah, keep on talking. Yeah, you can text me all night. I don't pay my phone bill, though. But other than that, yeah, go ahead.
All right, everybody. I appreciate you listening, and we look forward to talking to you more.